Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Believe in Tennessee Football. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Curbison, joined with Reed Bacon. We got another amazing one for you today. Before we get into that, please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube. If you're just listening, please rate and review. Please download, re-download, share with people. It always helps us so much, and leave us questions. We love answering them on the podcast, so that's always a delight. On this week's podcast, we're talking about season-ending injury in the running back room. We are talking about guys we're looking forward to seeing at practice. That is right. We're going to practice on the 6th, first day of full pads, and we are very excited for it. Going to get to break down everything that happens. So next week, we're going to have two podcasts for you guys. It's going to be amazing. And last, I share a story about one of my offensive line coaches just ripping into me in a very funny moment. So not going to want to miss this. Let's jump into it.
The game. Snap. The kick is in the air. And the kick this time is no, sir, Reed. Final score, Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
Brooks loads up, fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught by Tennessee.
Tennessee wins!
Caught it by Tennessee, Jawan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch in the end zone on the Hail Mary.
Down at the 35, to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. What did he do? All he did was score. Joey Pitt, touchdown on play number one.
All right, so before we get into the podcast, we got to shout out our number one sponsor, betonline.ag. You guys know, I say it every podcast, it is the place to go for all your betting news and odds and sports, everything. That this is the place, okay? With BetOnline, you get the most up-to-date fighting news. You get to bet on MLB games going on right now, NFL. I mean, you can bet on anything. Team total wins, division wins, individual players, all of it, okay? So now is the time to sign up. At BetOnline, you can sign up on your mobile device or you can go online, get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BELIEVE at checkout. That's B-L-E-A-V. And you get that 50% welcome bonus. So listen, y'all, please use that. Please go to BetOnline when you're doing all your sports betting. It makes things a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. And I always love them. They're the place to go. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right. Welcome in, everyone. Another amazing podcast lined up. I say it every week, but I mean it every single week. Getting into some great stuff. I want to shout out Football Time. I think this is the one thing that I see in a Weigel's in Knoxville or I see in a convenience store. And I'm like, ooh, the season is right around the corner. And we are getting very, very hype over here on the Believe Network about the season starting. Me and Reed are going to get to go to practice this upcoming Saturday, which is going to be a lot of fun. But first, before we get into anything, Reed, how we doing, bud?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you. It's good to talk with you. I'm excited. I'm very, very, very excited to go to practice. I look forward to that now. You know, the first time I was like, oh, this is going to be pretty dope. Like, it'll be cool. But now it's like, it kind of brings me back to football. Like, it brings me back to just it's only one day, but it's just so nice to be out there and just soak it all in. It kind of like, you know, I get to role play in my head. I'm a coach. Like I thought about for the longest time, man, I kid you not, when I stopped playing in Memphis, I thought about it for probably a year and a half straight, just prayed about it. Like, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to go into GA? Am I, you know, and I just said, you know, I love football, but I want to raise a family and be there and get to just spend more time with the family than coaches ultimately get to do. And so
their home life suffers dramatically.
Right. Right. And no knock on them. I mean, listen, you know, we know some of the, like I've grown up with some of the, not grown up, but I've got to know some of the coaches' sons. Like, you know, I was good friends with Willie Martinez's son. He's a great guy. I love him, and met him at UT, and then knew, you know, the Jancic boys from when they were at Catholic. And so they have a really cool, I mean, they've had, it's a different style upbringing, but it's a really cool one. If you're a sports guy and sports family, and, you know, Will is, the last time I checked, he was with the New Orleans Saints. So obviously he's fallen in his dad's footsteps, and
yeah,
Zach Jancic's at Arkansas State. So he's in his dad's footsteps. So, but anyways, it brings me back to just being out there, and I absolutely love it. So I'm excited for that. Had a great weekend. I was over in Nashville. So back over there hanging out with my aunt and uncle and cousins and my, as I call them, my brother-in-laws. And so Ariel and I were over there. Didn't get to see you, unfortunately. We were talking a little bit. I did call you on Saturday night after we ate downtown at Bourbon Steak. But then, let's see, Friday night we ended up going down to L.A. Jackson, which is in the Gulch, which is kind of close to you. We didn't stay long. It was,
yeah,
you know, we just went for a little bit after we went ate at Five Points Pizza, which we have not talked about this. And it's like your favorite place. I thought,
yeah, in Nashville, definitely.
I thought the pizza was fine, but it did not rock my world.
Okay. So, okay, but let's say this. Was it the best pizza in Nashville that you had?
I can't say that because I didn't really start eating. You know me, like growing up, I didn't really like pizza. And I only started liking pizza a little bit more a couple of years ago. And then being with Ariel, you know, she's from up north, so she loves pizza. And it's
different,
you
know, grade.
She's a pretty tough critic of it. And she thought the same. She thought it was okay. You know, not great. But I can't say it's not the best in Nashville because I haven't been to a bunch of Nashville places.
Yeah.
It was fine. It didn't rock my world. But so we went there, then we went out, and then we went to, like I said, Bourbon Steak, and then we went to the Greenhouse Bar in Green Hills, which I love Green Hills, like Bellevue, Green Hills, Bellmead, all that area. That's where I grew up. So it was like cool to be around that area again. Then, you know, obviously I lived in Brentwood.
Yeah,
so
my name's Reed. I got a lot of money. I'm hanging out Green Hills area, Bellmead. You start saying that nowadays, people are like, oh, this guy's got money.
Well, first off, my family's been just, they're very middle class. We grew up in Bellevue, but I went to school in Green Hills, so we were always in that area. A lot of the people that I grew up with lived in that Granny White, you know, Bellmead area. And listen, Bellmead's always had money. It ain't just now. Bellmead's been there, had that, done that. So it's not just saying it now, but have you been to the Greenhouse Plant Bar?
I've never been there, no.
Have you heard about it?
No, honestly.
So I had heard about it from a few people when I lived there, not growing up, but a couple of years ago when I was living there for work, and I never went, but we went this time. It was super cool. You need to take Brianne. It's just a totally different vibe than other. It was just so nice to be able to walk into a bar, hear people talk, have a nice relaxing night, not dealing with a bunch of nonsense. So very cool place. But yeah, it was a great weekend. Got to hang out with everybody, and no golf talk this weekend. So
I know everyone is pissed about that.
But yeah, how was your weekend?
Pretty good. Pretty much stayed in with the wife. Got a good amount of chores done. Got some spring cleaning of the closets done because we are moving soon. So this weekend we spent some time to like, hey, you're not wearing this anymore. Give it to Goodwill. Give it up. You know, had to throw away some old like low top Vans, like gray ones and blue ones that like I have not worn in years.
Why the hell did you ever buy Vans? Those are so lame.
Well, so honestly, I bought the Vans because in college they weren't as lame. And Vans and Converse you could get for like $60 in a size 16. Mm. Most other shoes, right, it's like over $100 no matter what.
I remember you rocked Converse for a while. I wasn't a big fan of it.
Yeah, just like the most classic shoe ever. Yeah, just not a big fan of it. Is it because there was too many laces? Because it's a big, you know, it's about 12 inches.
If you're not Benny the Jet Rodriguez rocking the all blacks, you don't look good in them, and that's facts. Well, I like when girls wear Converse. I think like when Ariel wears
all white,
her little Converse, I think those look cute and look good. I've never really liked them for guys. I don't know why. I just don't.
Yeah, I guess I got to wear them with like some tight jeans, a white T-shirt, and a flannel over top, and then maybe I'll.
Yeah,
or maybe the three quarter sleeve baseball shirts.
Yeah, and be a dog, and just be a nice, good, awesome, wholesome guy, good athlete, and you know.
I haven't heard anything that doesn't describe me yet.
Have you ever run away from Hercules?
I've ran away from a cat before. Does that count?
All right, big news. So we are going to practice. I'm fired up for that. We will. Please, I'm going to go ahead and PSA this now. Hit us up on Twitter, whether it's just whether it's just on the regular Twitter, whatever homepage, or on DMs, or on YouTube comments. And I apologize, I've not responded to comments yet. I will do that. Really, really, really quick story. I told Kyler this, but I had to shout it out. So I'm in staffing and recruiting. One thing that I do to reach out to companies is I will direct message people or connect with people on LinkedIn. Just say, hey, I see you're hiring. This is what we do. Do you all ever need help with it? And somebody came back to me and they were in Florida, like Cape Coral, I think, Florida. And so we're talking and he responds, says, yeah, that sounds interesting. Like, let's talk to him. So I'm like, okay, great. Like, you know, I just appreciate when people even respond. so he's like, yeah, let's talk. I said, great. So we started, you know, scheduling, hey, when can we talk? And all of a sudden he said, hey, PS, like, I'm excited for the Vols. So I guess he saw my page that I was in Knoxville. And I said, yeah, I love talking Vols too. And he said, yeah, it's getting that time of year. Like, I look for any content. Now, this is true. I have never told really anyone about the podcast because I just feel like it's so lame. Like,
I know.
It's like, yeah, I do a podcast. It's like, yeah, sweet guy. So does the other, you know, there's 6 billion people. There's 6 billion people in the world. 3 billion people are trying to do podcasts. So I don't ever say anything. Like,
it's so weird to be like, hey, I've got a podcast about that. Like, if someone brings up Tennessee, you're like, I have a podcast. It's like, yep. Bro, what do you – chill out.
Yeah. So I don't – I've, like, really never told anyone. Like, Ariel will tell people, and I don't know if she's doing it. She's doing it for us to get maybe some support, but also, I think, to embarrass me some. But anyway, I said
he's on his little podcast with his buddy.
So, anyways, I said, hey, really weird. I don't ever do this, but you mentioned that you love all the content that you can get. I said, I do a podcast with one of my buddies, Kyler Kurbison, used to play there, and he sends back and he says, yeah, I know, I listen to it. And I'm like, dude in Florida, like, listen, he's like, I look forward to it every week. And so, anyways, I want to shout out Logan Hunter. So he's an East Tennessee guy. He went to Campbell County. I guess he used to work out when you used to work out at D1 back in your high school days.
Yeah.
Before you worked there. And so he knew you and he listened. So I was like, hey, that's incredible. Thanks for the support. And I didn't tell him I was going to shout him out. So we'll see if he listens.
We'll see if he listens.
But no, he actually played football at Tusculum. And so that was cool. And so we got to talk about that. But yeah, anyways, just cool story. leave us messages about asking anything about practice, and we'll go from there.
Definitely, definitely. I do want to talk about some of the stuff that we're going to look for in practice. Before that, let's talk about news that just came out this week. I am not confident about saying the first name, but Lenith, is it just Lenith Whitehead?
No, Lenith Whitehead.
Lenith Whitehead. Season-ending injury. I saw upper body injury, so most likely I'm thinking just shoulder wrecked.
Shoulder pack.
Yeah, something. It sucks. It sucks that a guy we saw like little spurts of promise last year, and he's a big back. We always love big backs. And he's a running back. Like the depth of the running back position, the fact that he's a big back, the fact that he hasn't like – it was like this is his time to step up and be able to, you know, take the next step and like show what he can do. And then it's taken away from him. It sucks. Most likely he'll redshirt. He'll still have the eligibility that he needs, which is good for us. But moving forward, what does that mean for the running back room? What does that mean for our depth? And let me tell you something. What does that mean for old Justin? Well, Justin William Thomas. Because now this man is third string running back and can definitely see some time this year. I mean, Jalen Wright was third string and – that guy was part of one of the most important plays of the year by the end of it. So now it's almost like, hey, freshman, you ready? Like, you ready to step up, which I'm very excited about. And I know every single Tennessee fan that saw the picture of him in spring practice is also excited about this.
So what I say the other day on the pod, I hate injuries, man. It's brutal. And this one really stinks for him personally, because was he going to be a starter? I mean, no, not unless he had some amazing camp. But, like, we obviously know in the SEC you need 4, 5, 6 good backs. I mean, honestly, like, to go into camp feeling good about some of these people just because people get beat up. I mean, last year we had Jabari Small and Tyon Evans get injured. They're both a little bit smaller. Hell, we had freaking Marcus Pierce or Michael Pierce or whatever that walk-on's guy. I mean, he played snaps. Like, I mean, we had a bunch of people in there playing. So I hate it for Lenith because he would have gotten an opportunity to play. And if someone got hurt, he would probably had a really good opportunity to play.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is getting carries. I don't see him starting or being a bell cow. But no.
There she is, Annie. One guy goes down, it's Small or Wright goes down, he's up. I mean, he's going to get reps. Like, if one of them goes down, he will get reps in the next game. Third, like, that third string guy is right, like, he's close.
In the SEC at running back, it couldn't be any closer. I mean, it's crazy. So, I hate it for him. But, yeah, I think, you know, and I'm looking at it here, you got Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, Justin Williams Thomas, and then I don't see on here, but my guy, Speed Kills from Louisiana, Dylan Sampson? I forgot. I haven't looked at the roster lately, but So he's going to have, you know, he's going to have an opportunity. And I think now, this is obviously, I was going to watch every position of practice, but now this is going to be one that I'm paying attention to. And the other thing is, we've heard some of the rumors about the Lin Jay from Clemson. I saw a very brief thing. I saw some of my buddies talking about it. I saw Austin Price, I think it was, say he was on campus or whatever the case may be. I watched a few quick highlights of him. Kid looks like he can absolutely take off. We will obviously watch that film if he does show up and come here. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely showing that they can still add another running back. And the thing about adding a running back, you could add a running back. I mean, we play September 1st. You could add a running back like on August 15th or 20th. And it's like they can play immediately. Like, just, you know.
Yeah, dude. It is literally just switching terminology in their head to where, like, hey, Iowa is not what we use for inside zone to the right. It's actually Indiana. So when we say Indiana, that's inside zone to the right. So it's just like literally terminology like that, because he knows how to run inside zone to the right. Like he knows right. how to run counter to the left. Like he knows how to follow his blocks. None of that stuff's different.
Just
getting the terminology down. That's it.
Terminology and protecting the quarterback. Don't get the quarterback blasted. You know, a lot of people forget about that when it comes to running backs and responsibilities.
No kidding. Did you hear what Coop DeLoop said on a podcast? He went on some other podcast. He said that the hit, the like illegal hit that wasn't called on Hendon Hooker in the Alabama game, that Hendon knocked out four of his teeth.
That's insane, bro.
Insane. It wasn't even called. It wasn't even like close to called. I remember tweeting out a video of it because I was like, bro, this is absolutely ridiculous. They had like close film from the sideline because he was running towards the sideline. He throws and dude literally lowers his head and sticks his head right in Hendon's chin. And apparently, I mean, who knew this? This is almost like 10 months later that we're like first finding this out. Hendon was just like, hey, screw that. I'm going to keep playing. We're going to beat Bant. Like he just was like, F it, which makes me love him so much more.
Bro, that's some of the toughest thing I've ever heard. I would say I'm a decently tough guy when it comes to playing football. I'm a baby, a lot of other stuff. But like I was decent that if I got injured, you know, I could finish the game and then just be a baby the next 3 days. But if that had happened and knocked out my teeth, I would have been like, I mean, that is serious. That is serious, serious stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what, like which teeth got knocked out, but I'm also like, bro, I don't remember him like getting out, like the next play he was still in. I don't remember him getting out.
I don't even like seeing him spitting blood or any, like, I mean, that's some crazy
stuff. I wonder if like he had his mouthpiece in and it was literally like he got to the sideline, took his mouthpiece out and there were teeth in it. And he was just like, whoops.
That would be insane.
Because let me tell you something, adrenaline, it'll keep you going. You'll just be like, I got hit in the face. It hurts a little bit, but it's not actually serious. And then you get to the sideline, you look at it, and your finger's broken or your teeth are knocked out or your ear's hanging off. And it's like, oh, whoops.
Adrenaline is a wild thing when it comes to it. So anyways, yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Lynn Jay if he ends up committing. We'll obviously monitor and see if they go after any other running backs. You know, but I like Jabari Small. I like Jalen Wright. You know, I'm very excited, as all of Vol Nation is, about Justin Williams Thomas. And I'm excited about Dylan from Louisiana. So, like, I'm excited to see all of them and to see what they do. I have a mock depth chart pulled up. So that's kind of cool to look at. We won't really talk about this. We can kind of go over this stuff maybe after an official one drops or something like that. But the other news I did saw or that I did see and I wanted to bring up is that I saw that Cameron Miller, the wide receiver from Memphis, is actually playing at defensive backfield.
Oh, wow.
That really surprises me. And the reason that surprises me is I think our defensive backfield is so solid with options.
Yeah.
Great options. I don't know about that, but I just feel like with Tank and Trey Flowers coming back, and I'm going to be shocked if Travavian McDonald or whatever his name is for Memphis. Like I said, forgive me for the names. I haven't looked at the depth charts, but you guys know who I'm talking about. Like, I loved him. I loved seeing him in practice. I loved him in the orange and white game. So, like, okay, so then if he's there and you got – the guy coming from Georgia Tech, and then you got Kamal Haddon, Brandon Turnage, and then you have the guy from Ohio State at corner. Like, then you have some of the guys that were already there. Like, Kenneth George's played a bunch of games. Like, I felt like Cam maybe would have had a better chance to get on the field at receiver, but I don't know. That kind of surprised me. I didn't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think back to the instances when I played where guys switched sides or switched positions, and there were instances where coaches really thought, like, well, this guy played both in high school, and you know, we have a need, so let's put him here and see what happens, which was like what happened with Jayshon Robertson, who was a great offensive lineman for us, who just had a lot of injuries. But when he first came in, he was a D lineman and he was playing defense. And then all the coaches were like, hey, like, we want to see what you got on offense. And I think it was more of like, if this guy can perform at guard, like, that'll just knock out that need. And he was good in high school. With Cameron Miller switching over this fast, it doesn't seem like coaches were like, hey, you're bad at wide receiver, we're going to put you at DB, which definitely happens. It's too early for that kind of determination. This right. almost seems like Cameron went to coaches and was like, I want to play DB. I think I can be very good at DB. Let me show you something. And like made it a point to switch sides. Because I just don't think that a coach would be like, hey, we need more DBs. What do you guys think about bringing Cameron over and like bring it up himself? Because it just seems like there's so many over there.
That's a pro move by Kyler. He stopped and he saw that I was still chewing. He kept going. That is what we call
That's right. I'm going to let you swallow. I mean, you eat almost 50% of the podcasts at this point.
Yeah, I know. So I just read it. It looks like that article was actually put out by our man. Yeah, it is Vols Wire. So that's by Dan Harrelson.
Sweet.
So, okay. But I was just reading this real quick because I clicked on it. And Heupel says, from the time we recruited him, viewed him as a football player. Heupel said of Miller's ability to play multiple positions, that's how he views himself too. He doesn't really care what he's playing. As we got through spring ball, it just felt like him, his skill set, opportunity to compete and make an impact was probably on the other side of the ball at the, like, for the earliest him to compete. So, I mean, 6'1", 205, it sounds like if he, you know, this is almost like, to me, they like the kid a lot, and they think that he could be kind of special in the defensive backfield if you're going to make an adjustment that
like he had, like he has the work ethic yeah. behind him.
Well, yeah, and he also has the body, the skill set, maybe the hips, maybe the knowledge of it. And then it says his attitude and 1-2 are unquestioned by anybody, players in the locker room and our staff. We're excited to see him grow here during the course of training camp and his first time playing that position. A lot of things are happening. It's different, but he's been really diligent in the building, spent a bunch of extra time this summer. I mean, definitely something for us to take a peek at.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely something to watch, a guy moving positions. I mean, I think another one in the wide receiver room that has obviously gotten some heads turning after first practice is Brew McCoy. And seeing what's actually happened with him, you know, is he that guy? Can he be that dude? That kind of thing. So we will see. We will see with old Brew. But I think that's another one in the wide receiver room. And then I do want to watch Jimmy Holiday a lot more because the spurts that I saw of him in spring,
yes.
he was cooking folks.
Yes, he was.
Catching screens, juking people out, gaining you extra yards. He was running crisp routes, getting open, making tough catches. And it's like, okay, what else have you been doing? Have you been getting even better since the last time I saw you? So I'm excited about that.
I'm so happy you mentioned him because, once again, for 2 years straight, all I'm hearing is Jalen Hyatt, Jalen Hyatt, Jalen Hyatt. And I have nothing against the kid at all. But it's just like – it's just kind of annoying. I'm like, I'm more intrigued, like I said, by – I'm excited to see Jimmy Callaway.
Yeah,
because of what he did, how he exploded, how he fell off. Mm-hmm. Is he mentally back yet? Like, is he in the running? Is he in the mix for stuff? Like, where does that put him? Because, you know, stuff like that happens and – you know, I don't know, but I want to see, like, if he's in the mix. Because, like, it'll tell you really quickly If he's in the mix, he's bounced back really well. If he's not so much in the mix, he's probably not with the program to finish the season or into next year. It's just kind of like he's going to want to go somewhere and get a fresh start.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's a redshirt sophomore right now, and it's like, okay, well, I got a few years left. Let me use them where I can use them. Like, he's not going to just stay around to be a third, fourth, fifth guy.
But I'm telling you, I love that you said the Jimmy Holiday call, because he good size, good speed, and he was – I love what I saw from him in practice.
Yeah, I think going through, like, the other positions, like offensive line, I'm watching, like, technique and stuff. Like, I love just watching that. But there's not necessarily a guy to watch. I mean, maybe Jeremiah Crawford, because he was, like, the replacement for Cade in the spring. So it's just figuring that out. But all the rest are just, like – dude, I don't got to watch Jerome Carvin. I don't got to watch Spraggins. Like, those boys are beasts. I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about Darnell Wright, you know? And then the same thing in the tight end position. Like, I ain't worried about Fant. I ain't worried about Jacob Warren. Like, those guys will do what they got to do, which is so refreshing that we actually know who's starting in certain positions. I mean, last year it was a crapshoot. Like, literally had no idea. So I feel like now – like defensive side of the ball, D line wise, and I, you know, said this when I went on the Sports Animal with Josh and Swain earlier this last week. But I want someone to step up in Matthew Butler's place. Matthew Butler was literally your favorite guy to watch last year.
Loved him.
And it's like, okay, who can replace him? Obviously, eyes point to Amari Thomas first. Do you think Amari Thomas would be like this? He can step in that role?
100,000%. I think he's going to be an absolute dog. He's big. He's got everything. He's big. He's got good hands. He's quick. He's fast. He's powerful. I think he's going to be a stud. Okay. So I think he's going to be good. I also love that you said Latrell Bumpus and you said DeJon Terry. DeJon Terry's kind of like forgotten about. Like, it was kind of nice when he came in. He played meaningful roles in snaps last year. Like,
yeah,
he's still there. Like, that's a good spot for him. But, you know, they say Elijah looks incredible. They say he's lost even more weight. That's one guy we need a good season from him. We really do. He's been around. He got a lot of the buzz, kind of like the Jalen Hyatt. But, like, we need Elijah to show up because we know – excuse me. We know you're going to get production from Tyler Barron. Amari Thomas is going to be good. DT, DeJon Terry is going to play meaningful snaps. Byron Young's going to be a beast. You know, Roman Harrison's going to be laying his body out on the freaking field. He plays so hard. He'll give you good production. And then everyone's talking about these are two of the people that I'm excited to see. You know, for D-line, I want to see who the rotation is, but I want to see Tyree West, who was early enrollee. We always saw him and Jordan Phillips, and both of them look like good bodies already in the spring. But then I want to see Double J, and I want to see James Pierce. So the two young edge guys. I want to see if I think that they can – if they look like they're in it mentally and if they physically are going to be able to give Tyler Barron, Byron Young, Roman Harrison some, you know.
Yeah, some rest. Love.
Yes.
Yeah, some load management there. But those other guys, definitely, because – depth was a big concern last year. It's like you got to play 80 snaps. Fourth quarter comes around, you're dying. You're dying off. And then I think like in the linebacker, it's really, you know, it is Jeremy Banks and it is Aaron Beasley as 1-2, which it does surprise me that Juwan Mitchell hasn't been able to come back. Maybe this camp is different, you know, because watching his film at Texas, you were like, okay, this guy can be a starter. I mean, he was a starter at Texas and he did very well. So it's okay. What does this camp look like for him? Can he possibly get a starting role? And hopefully we don't have like rotating doors at linebacker. Like I would very much like a solidified linebacker core and not try different people. I think they're going to be able to figure that out. And then, you know, we discussed it, but like the depth of this DB room is insane.
I said Kenneth George. I did not mean Kenneth George. I meant Warren Burrell. But
Kenneth George
is actually over with the Tennessee Titans getting a chance. But Warren Burrell, Andre Turnentine, D. Williams, and the reason I'm saying D, yes, he's new, but he was coming from JUCO. So he's not like a freshman. He's an older guy.
Obviously, right.
Yeah, Jalen McCullough, Tamarian McDonald, Charles Christian. I'm telling you, Tamarian McDonald and Charles Christian, every time I saw those guys, I loved what I saw. Then you got Trey Flowers. I mean, Deshaun
Rucker. I think Christian Charles got toasted a little bit in that Purdue game. But besides
you're thinking of Deshaun Rucker.
Rucker.
Deshaun Rucker. You still got Kamal Haddon, Brad and Turnage. We haven't even mentioned Danico Slaughter. And then, like I said, the guy from Georgia Tech is Wesley Walker. I mean, it's insane. Like, I would hate to be a defensive back at the University of Tennessee because, like, you better be a friggin' stud if you want to get on this field.
Oh, for sure. And, like, a DB is that position where you don't rotate. Like, you do not.
They did last year.
They did last year, but I don't really agree with it. Like, that was always a teaching point for us when I played. It's like, what are the positions that don't rotate? DB, offensive line, and quarterback. That's it.
And I agree with you. It was the first time I had seen a team treat corners like that last year. Hell,
yeah.
I was shocked how we were doing it with linebackers and corners, but, you know, it is what it is.
You got to figure it out. I mean, they didn't have an entire year to figure out their team. They had to use the season to figure out their team. So, I mean, I'll give it to them.
I'm telling you. It's going to be a fascinating practice watch. It's going to be – I just love the fact that I know a lot of these names. And, like, you know, us doing this podcast has made me invested that I do know a lot of these younger guys that are recruits. And, like, I'm just I just think it's a very entertaining spring. I mean, last year was berserk because of all the newness and the quarterback. But this year, with all these moving pieces with different players, it's going to be fascinating. So I think you have a big orange juice for us this week.
Yeah. So this week's – I guess we can technically still call it a big orange juice, but this is a funny story about myself from the 2011 season. And if you ask almost anyone that was on that team about this, they will know what you're talking about. So – it is a great story. We are getting ready for practice, and I believe it is Kentucky. They're the last game of the year. We ended up losing that game to not be bowl eligible.
I was there, brutal.
I was there, too.
I know. I saw you there. You were redshirting.
but this is practice getting ready for it, and it was so cold outside. We would do morning practices under Dooley, so we would be out on the field by 8 a.m., maybe 8:30. So whenever we got out there, like, it's the pretty much the coldest point, like, of the day is in the morning. And it got, like, it was in the 30s, so the equipment room put compressions and long sleeves on our loops. You always grab your loops from your locker, and that's what you change with. They wash it every day for you.
Explain that for people who don't know. So we put our clothes on loops so that
– yeah, so there's literally a little buckle. It's just a buckle. It's almost like a collar, if you will. And we would just, you know, wring your clothes in on that, buckle the loop. Then they would just throw them in this big bin washer and dryer. They would wash them every day. Then put them in your locker.
Yeah, and it was to keep up.
The equipment locker. You would go over, put a coat in, grab it out, and bring it to your actual locker. So
it was so that people's clothes didn't get mixed up and they had to sort it all out.
Exactly. So they went ahead and put long sleeves on everyone's loops and long compressions on everyone's loops. We're in the locker room, and you know, as like offensive linemen, it is very frowned upon from wearing long sleeves and long compressions. And You gotta be tough and all this crap. But we were like, it's cold as shit outside. And the older guys decide upon themselves. I'm a freshman, right? I'm gonna follow the lead. If everybody else is not wearing it, I'm not wearing it. They wore them. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna be good. I can wear them. If they're wearing them, I can wear them. That was not the case. We eventually get outside to practice, and our O-line coach, Harry Heastan, at the time.
Harry was a big hard ass too, wasn't he?
If you could say anything about this man, you could say he was a hard ass. He would MF you. He would ring you out. He would tell you how much you disappointed your family, your mother, your hometown, and your school in that spring scrimmage you had. So
Wait, say that again. What was it?
I use that as an example because Juwan James, first round pick Juwan James, got a note, literally like written thing back on like a review of a spring practice, which was a scrimmage, that you let down yourself, this team, your family, and like your hometown with the way you performed last Saturday. Like he literally wrote that out. He gave it to Juwan. So this is the kind of guy we're dealing with.
Yeah, Harry was kind of – he left Tennessee, he went to Notre Dame, right?
And yep.
Didn't he have a stint in the NFL too? He's like
– Yeah, so good. He was with the Bears before he came to Tennessee. Then he went to Notre Dame after Tennessee. Then he went back to the Bears. And now I'm not sure where he's at.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But, yes, hard ass. Definitely. A guy that, like, you're very much scared to do the wrong thing on the field, which I think is a horrible way to coach.
Agreed.
I need to respect you, and I need to feel like I disappointed you. Not that I'm scared to mess up. Like, you got me, like, thinking, like, I'm afraid of you while I'm playing. Like, I don't even think about you. Anyways, so we get out there. He automatically, like, we're doing warm-ups. We're together. And he's just gritting his teeth. Fuck him. Like, making up excuses for the older guys. Like, Juwan has this, like he sweats a lot. Like, naturally, he sweats a lot. And he used to have to get IVs at halftime of games because he would sweat so much. Like, he's had full-body cramps before. And like he like put it up to that, like, you know, he sweats a lot. He's gotta use that. He was like, and Zach Fulton, like, he's sick, and you know, he can't be outside. Like, he was like making up excuses for the older guys to wear them, and then was like getting on to us younger guys about, like, you know, a bunch of fucking pussies. Like, I can't believe we're out here, just red in the face, so mad. And Harry Heastan is about 5'4". I would say 5'5", like a very small man.
Yeah,
and
from Pennsylvania, northern guy.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just so pissed. So ends up, our first period of the day is one-on-ones versus a D-line. Our first period. Because they like to change it up on us. We go to one-on-ones. The, you know, first string goes up there. They start going. I think it gets, you know, it's like Juwan first at right, then right guard Zach Fulton, then James Stone at center. I think like James goes and something happens with James and he walks up there and coaches him up and he turns around and he's walking back and I'm standing back there, you know, just 10, 15 yards, not saying a word, just literally standing there. And he looks over at me, looks me up and down. Fucking wide receiver number 77.
Bro, you gotta put, just, I've looked him up here. You gotta put a picture of him because some of these pictures, like, just like his headshot will be perfect for them. And yes, he is. Yeah, he was Chicago Bears, Tennessee, Notre Dame for 5 years, Chicago Bears for a year, back to Notre Dame.
Yeah. So and he like he like yelled this loud enough for everyone to hear, and it was so random and in the moment because there was no reason for him to say it, but he turned around, saw my long johns I had on, long sleeves, and it was just fucking wide receiver number 77, and every single guy in the O-line room was like, dude, I almost lost it when he said that to you. Like, they almost all started dying laughing, or they had to hold it in. And even the D lineman, like, almost started dying laughing. Because, again, I'm a freshman, just, like, literally standing there like this, cold as shit, in 30-degree weather, just trying to survive. And that's what he says. And it spread like wildfire, very funny moment. And now, like, anybody I run into from that 2011 year, I bring it up and they're like, oh yeah, that was hilarious. He's then getting on your ass.
It had to be a little bit embarrassing too, as a freshman. Oh,
it was, but I, at the same time, I'm like, so everybody else is a wide receiver too. Like,
right.
I'm
right.
Not the only one with these things on.
Yeah. That is funny. That is funny.
It is a very classic, 2011 story. And I wanted to at least share that with the fans because they're, I definitely have teammates that will literally bring it up when I see them. And, you know, if I go back, I see them at a game. Someone has a wedding and I see them, they'll be like, yeah, fucking wide receiver number 77. You know me, baby.
Kind of put one of these pictures up of Harry. It's funny.
Oh, yeah. It's he was brutal. Brutal about stuff, but We made it. Then we had Sam Pittman the next year. It was the coolest cat you've ever seen. He'd make jokes. I think I've told this on here before, but we were doing like goal line practice, and like our teaching point was 6-inch splits. So the guy next to you, your foot is supposed to be 6 inches away from his. And we're in goal line, and literally Zach Fulton's foot is like on top of James Stone's foot. They're like right next to each other. And Sam Pittman's going through it. And he's like, Zach, what is our teaching point here? Right here, where your foot is. And he's like, it's 6 inches. Exactly. It's supposed to be 6 inches away. I swear to God, y'all can't tell what 6 inches are. You're just like my wife.
I knew where this was going. It was going to be something like that. That's
awesome. Yeah, exactly. He's like, pretty much like, your split that's on top of each other is what my wife thinks 6 inches is too. So that's the kind of guy Sam Pittman is. If you want to know why he's successful at Arkansas, because he's literally that laid back in an offensive line meeting room where he stand would have cussed you out and said, why is your split like that?
Right.
So that's why we enjoyed Sam Pittman and his dirty humor in the meeting room. But
Well, great pod. Definitely good story. Please flood us questions, and then get ready for the two best pods of the year when we talk offense, defense, or
heck yeah. Next week is going to be sick.
Just practicing.
We'll try and split it up, offense and defensive podcasts, because there's always so much material. But yes, again, comment section on all of our social medias. Please hit us up. Please ask questions. People you guys want to watch out for. Things you want to know. Things you want to see. Even if it's interaction with coaches and players, please let us know. For all those people watching, hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Leave a comment. Do all that good stuff on YouTube. If you're listening, please rate and review. Leave us 5 stars. Download. Re-download. It always helps with everything. And if you want to follow us on social media, so it's at Believe in Tennessee for our main account on Twitter, at rbacon26 for Reed, at Kyler Curbison for all my social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can follow me there. And yeah, just really appreciate you guys with all the support you're doing. We love to hear stories like this. You know, Reed running into someone that listens to it. I've done it before too. So such a great time. We love doing this. Guys, please keep up the support. It means so much to us. And as always, Go Vols.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.